The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in this world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper, took off his outer garment. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him and said, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garment back on and reclined the table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and the teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should do also." The Gospel of the Lord.
The first reading that we heard tonight is the account of the first Passover meal. This event has been celebrated by Jews every year since that time, thousands of years ago. It is called the Passover or Seder meal, which is the celebration of God delivering the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Certain elements of the celebration commemorated actual things that happened during the Exodus. For example, unleavened bread is used because the people had to hurry out of Egypt once Pharaoh agreed to let them go. So there was not time to leaven their bread, and they took what they had and left Egypt. In future celebrations of the Passover, they were instructed to use only unleavened bread to commemorate this fact. Also, certain vegetables and bitter herbs are dipped in various substances and are used to symbolize various things, like the suffering and backbreaking labor done by the Israelites to build structures for the Egyptians. But the most important element of the meal was the lamb. Everything centered around that lamb. The lamb was sacrificed for two reasons: to obtain blood, and so that its meat could be eaten as part of the meal. The lamb had to be unblemished, perfect, 1 year old, with no deformities. It had to be the best of the best. The blood of the lamb was smeared on the doorposts of each Israelite house so that the angel of death would pass over that house. Remember, the angel of death was instructed to kill the firstborn of every household, except for those houses where the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost. So the lamb was a symbol of safety, of salvation from death. Because of this, the sacrificed lamb came to be used as a sin offering to God, since sin is death to a human being. And this would be celebrated on a different feast called Yom Kippur, but was prefigured by each Israelite family consuming the lamb and burning what was left as a sacrifice to God. When I was newly ordained, I used to attend sessions of interreligious dialogue between Catholics and Jews at a synagogue in Colorado Springs. The rabbi of that place became very good friends with Bishop Hanifin, and they are to this very day. And it all came about through those dialogues. Rabbi Hirsch actually referred to Bishop Hanifin as my bishop. At one of those gatherings, a Jewish man stood up for one of the Q&As and said, "I understand that you Christians believe that at Mass, the bread is turned into the body of this Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, and the wine is turned into his blood. What I am curious about is why Jesus would ask you to eat his body and blood. That just seems very odd. Couldn't he give you blessings without having to eat his body and blood?" Now, the question had never been posed to me personally in that way, and I suspect it was the same for Bishop Hanifin. We didn't want to go into the whole theology of Thomas Aquinas and the Aristotelian philosophy on which it is based, so we said something to the effect of, "You are what you eat." And that's what it's meant to be, right? That is a valid analogy, but I wish that I could have remembered that detail about the necessity of partaking of the lamb during the Passover meal. It would be unthinkable to not eat the lamb. That's the answer I would give that guy now. And he would have gotten it like that. The Seder, or Passover supper, shared by the apostles and Jesus tonight was changed forever in character by Jesus to what we now know as the Mass, or the Eucharist. As the New Testament tells us, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb now. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is pure temple sacrificial language. He is the lamb that was sacrificed both for the forgiveness of sins on Yom Kippur and the lamb that is eaten at the Seder meal. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That title takes on so much more meaning when looked at from the Jewish context from which it came. So when Jesus' blood is smeared on the doorposts of our bodies, the angel of death will pass over us. And when we consume the sacrificed lamb in the appearance of unleavened bread, our sins are forgiven. And something else. Jews believe that when they celebrate the Passover supper, they are somehow mystically transported back to the event of the actual Exodus, so that the people at the table in 2025 who share a Seder meal, they believe that they actually take part in the original event thousands of years ago. They even say that it's part of the Seder meal. Now, the word they use for this in Greek is anamnesis, a word that we use in regard to the liturgy. Normally, it is translated as remember or commemorate, but that translation is truly inadequate to explicate what Jews mean by it. When we remember something, we don't necessarily believe that we are transported back to the event in any real physical way. But in this case, Jews do believe this about the Passover supper. So it is in this context that Jesus, who was a Jew, says to his apostles, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Greek word there is anamnesis. He's not saying that it is good to recall or remember or commemorate the saving actions of Jesus Christ that we celebrate this entire week. He is saying that when we celebrate Mass, we are mystically transported back to that event. This is why we say that we receive Jesus' body and blood truly in the Eucharist, because we are made present to those events and partake of the Lamb at the Passover meal. God is all-powerful and in need of nothing. Yet he chose to come to us in the person of Jesus and be treated like a slave, a servant, in order to save us. It shows us his love. But it also shows us the example that we are to follow. This is shown plainly by Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. That job could only be handed to the lowest slave in the house. So for Jesus to offer to do that, that is really something. If God makes himself our servant, then we are to do the same for each other. Let us then fulfill the Lord's command.